You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There is a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for the week of March 8th, 2024. It's Not Safe for Work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where we took to the streets this week and offered a silver dollar to anyone who could remember a single phrase other than smoking gun mushroom cloud from any of George W. Bush's State of the Union speeches. And the answer we most frequently got was, who was George W. Bush? It's the Professional Laugh with Drift Glass and Bluegal.
The memory hole, Drift Glass.
I know. It's deep and it's wide, and the bulldozers are working 24/7.
Yep.
And we've been through quite a few changes and shifts and tectonic movements since George W. Bush. And honestly, State of the Unions are just not that memorable.
Most of them aren't. That's right.
They're events. I mean, Bill Clinton's were, as I recall, 17 hours long laundry lists of little things, which are fine. That's great. That's, you know, hey, I'm a policy guy. I love to hear that stuff. So anyway, this, as you were going to say,
I was going to say that we are recording this on Thursday afternoon, before Joe Biden's State of the Union speech.
That is correct.
But we are also recording it after Joe Biden lost the American Samoa primary, Drift Glass.
Yeah, pretty bad.
And I got to say, the American political media has grave doubts about whether, you know, Joe Biden will have the strength to go on after this. Here are just a few of the hundreds of headlines that all tell the same tale. NPR and PBS have virtually identical headlines. Who is Jason Palmer? Who defeated President Biden in American Samoa's caucus?
This is from the Washington Post. Biden's American Samoa loss and Trump's Vermont loss explained.
As if they're exactly the same thing.
Sure, they're virtually the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Fox News. Jason Palmer, Baltimore investor who defeated Biden in American Samoa, wants to debate.
Sure. I'm sure he does. This is from The Hill. Biden loses American Samoa Democratic caucuses. President Biden was projected to lose the Democratic caucuses in American Samoa to an obscure candidate in a surprising result.
USA Today. Who is Jason Palmer? What to know about the American Samoan pick for president?
From CBS News. Who killed Laura Palmer? No. That's wrong. Sorry. I read that wrong. It's American Samoa splits delegates in Democratic caucuses between Biden and Jason Palmer.
Time magazine, talking to Jason Palmer, the man who beat Joe Biden in American Samoa.
Mm-hmm. Axios wants you to know that Jason Palmer won the American Samoa Democratic caucus over Biden.
They suck so bad.
They do, every day.
Al Jazeera, who is Jason Palmer, the only Democrat to beat Joe Biden in American Samoa.
Mm-hmm. And from the New York Times, bringing up the rear, who is Jason Palmer, the candidate who tied Biden in American Samoa,
Well, they even got that wrong. Yeah.
Well,
this is devastating, Drift Glass.
He tied him in delegates, not in
votes. In delegates. I see.
That's right. This is all...
Like I said, devastating. Yeah. Devastating. Especially given his opponent's margin of victory, Jason Palmer, who lives in Baltimore and had never visited American Samoa before the caucus. By the way, he spoke to all of the voters via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
He got 56.0% and Joe Biden got 44.0% and Dean Phillips got 0%. Now, when you consider, though, what these percentages represent in terms of number of voters, in the entire caucus, there were only 91 voters. And of those votes cast, Palmer won 51 and Biden won 40. So we got 11 more votes than Biden.
Crushed him.
Well, he spent time on American Samoa.
Yeah. On Zoom. On American Samoa.
On Zoom. Right. With 51 people saying, okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, whatever.
And, you know, as it was pointed out on MSNBC that Tulsi Gabbard won American Samoa at one point. It's a good way to get American Samoa in the news, actually.
I do wonder, is American Samoa across the international dateline?
I don't know.
So it wasn't Super, and it wasn't Tuesday on Super Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh.
Samoa. I'm the only one.
I do think that this, if I lived in American Samoa, I might try to stir things up a little bit get some attention.
I know.
It's good for the economy. But the media worked itself into an absolute tizzy over this non-story.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that after consistently losing a quarter to a third of all Republican primary voters, while Biden is sweeping Democratic primaries with over 90% of the vote, except for American Samoa, where he lost by 11 votes.
He did.
The New York Times continues to run compare and contrast headlines like these. Quote, an unstoppable Mr. Trump continues to roll, and Democrats bruised Biden again. Thanks, Peter Baker.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. I one of these days I'd like to take the New York Times headline writer out for a drink and just find out what's going on there. Now, why is this all happening? Why are stories like these, dumb stories like these, all over the news? Because my friends, primaries, let you in on a little political secret. Primaries are boring as fuck.
Especially this year.
Yeah. And because this year they were boring before they even began. They became boring the minute Donald Trump announced he was running.
After his inauguration, by the way.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And it's like, well, we know who's going to win. I mean, that's done. Everyone knew Trump was going to win the Republican nomination. So the media had to invent other little angles to pretend this is all very exciting and worth the breathless coverage they were going to give it. They needed drama. They needed gladiatorial contests. They desperately wanted Gary Hart on a boat called the Monkey Business with a woman who was not his wife. That's what a primary is all about, Blue Gal.
Yeah, sure. And except the viewing public, was scandalized by Gary Hart on a boat called the Monkey Business with a woman who was not his wife in 1987. And they are not the same viewing public as today.
No.
A lot of avid news consumers from 1987 are no longer with us, first of all.
Half of them are dead.
Some of them have passed away. And the entire peck-sniffing, moralizing Republican Party that, you know, instantly disqualified Gary Hart now is 100% cool with their candidate legitimately being accused and found guilty or responsible for sexual assault and rape by a jury, and paying hush money to porn stars.
Yeah.
They're perfectly okay with that. And that was to cover up an affair as well. And to anyone under a certain age, a Gary Hart-type scandal would be as exciting as, and this is where Driftglass is quoting from Resident Alien, the best line of any Resident Alien episode. And this week's was the funniest episode of all the ones I've seen. I've seen all of them. It would be exciting as a feather pillow locked in a hot car.
We both looked at each other and said, "I want to know who wrote that. I want to know. I want to know who wrote that line."
Writer, please.
Writer, can you direct me to the writer? Yeah.
She smells like a feather pillow in a hot car. Mm. We want to know who wrote that line. It is so good, so good. And that episode, and I'm so glad that. I mean, we're off on a tangent here now, but Resident Alien is getting the audience it deserves, finally.
Yes. Well, it's getting
by moving to Netflix, yeah.
The professional left bump, because, you know.
Oh, it's the professional left bump. Okay, yes. We think the world of this show, and it is the funniest episode. So anyway, the media has to summon panels of their top talent to try to make a pie out of this shit show.
Yeah. Got to put a little puppet show for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would remind everyone that I'm betting that some percentage of these people who are completely cool with their candidate being a rapist and paying hush money to porn stars and being a monster and a liar and a con man and a grifter have on their shelves Bill Bennett's book on virtues, the book of
The book of virtues, right?
And somewhere up on the top shelf, they haven't shuffled it off to the library yet or burned it yet or whatever, but somewhere up on that top shelf is that book of virtues. Now on MSNBC, the little show they put on featured Steve Kornacki dancing around circling the locations of Vermont laundromats and Alabama shoe stores on a very large TV and shouting percentages at the camera. It's Steve Kornacki shouting numbers at you, which reminded me of, believe it or not, the late lamented John Barleycorn Barr. which was in the 600 block of West Belden Avenue in Chicago. I was part of a social group that used to meet there on a regular basis, and it was generally a very cool place to hang out. They had a big screen above the bar where they used to show old movies like W.C. Fields stuff and Keystone Cops and that sort of thing. It was never loud enough to disturb anyone who wasn't there to watch movies. They just sort of went on in the background, just something happening on the background. And if you're ever required, as we were, to watch cable news on primary night, this is just the right way to do it. Turn the volume down, have a drink, while Steve Kornacki capers in the background like a character from a Max Sennett comic.
Just leave the sound off.
Yeah. And just watch him rush around pointing and yelling and screaming in his khakis and get real worked up over some gas station in Tennessee casting 10 votes for somebody you never heard of before. That's his thing. Good for him.
I need to correct something I said earlier on this show. I talked about Donald Trump announcing the day after Inauguration Day. He did that in 2017.
Yes.
For the 2020 election.
Yep.
He waited until after the midterms in 2022 to officially announce he was running in 2024, because all of the money he raised between the 2021 inauguration and the 2022 midterms, he scooped up for himself.
Yeah.
Himself and his legal fees and his, that was his money.
Yeah, my mind. That's my mind.
And so, he didn't announce that he was running for president until 2022 for 2024.
Yeah. Everyone knew he was. But
speaking of immorality.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, speaking of utter criminality and scamming people in public and then pardoning other people who scam people. I mean, they're all okay with this. The only actual story to come out of Super Tuesday, a story where the status quo actually changed slightly, also wasn't a surprise to anyone. It was Nikki Haley dropping out, which TV's Frank Conniff, who is another person we just adore, summed up very succinctly as follows, quote, "Now that Nikki Haley has dropped out of the race, Republicans have lost their one chance to nominate a candidate who is hardly any better than Trump." Unquote.
Yep.
And before she jumped out of the race, Republicans were lining up behind her to push her out of the race. This is from CNN just hours before she quit. Quote, "Efforts to nudge Haley out of the race had ramped up with South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, a Trump ally." I think ally is stretching it here.
Yeah.
He's obviously a Trump victim of blackmail. Telling CNN's Dana Bash, he expected Haley to be a team player and support the former president against Biden. "I think it's pretty clear that people have spoken. I voted for Trump, not against Nikki. And at the end of the day, there's really no pathway left. The sooner we can come together, the better," Graham said. While Graham, Haley's fellow South Carolina Republican, tried to gently push her out of the race, Trump hit Haley hard on Tuesday in an interview with Mark Levin. Trump said Haley was bitter, had gone haywire, and described her as a very angry person. "She's become really angry, and I think it's that she's getting nowhere," Trump said, unquote.
Yeah. And because Nikki Haley is a hollow creature, completely hollow, who still dreams of a bright future in Republican politics, she would not stop pretending right up until the end that somehow Trump might suddenly become a better person. He'd pivot and he'll change his wicked ways. Maybe he will. Maybe. Let's all hold that hope. Quote, "It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party who did not support him. And I hope he does. This is now his time for choosing," unquote, which is a title of a Republican book from 500 years ago. And it's also ludicrous. Donald Trump has already said he has more than enough votes. He has all the votes he needs. He doesn't need their votes. Fuck those people. So, you know, this is Nikki Haley right up until the end. And I'm pretty sure she's going to end up endorsing Donald Trump or just remaining mum. Cannot come out four square and say, this guy's a fucking monster. And if you vote for him, you're dead to me, which is what she should have been saying from day one if she wanted to have any chance at any of this. But she can't because she isn't. Essentially hollow, amoral creature who just wants to win and thought she had some way forward in this tiny path. And she never did. So that's why this wasn't a surprise. And now that she's out, and at least a quarter of Republican primary voters have made it very clear that they're really sick of Donald Trump, Joe Biden quickly opened up the tent flap of the Democratic Party's big tent and invited them in. Come on in, guys. And this is a statement from Joe Biden as being read by me. Quote, "It takes a lot of courage to run for president. That's especially true in today's Republican Party, where so few dare to speak the truth about Donald Trump. Nikki Haley was willing to speak the truth about Trump." Yeah. "About the chaos that always follows him. About his inability to see right from wrong. About his cowering before Vladimir Putin. Donald Trump made it clear he doesn't want Nikki Haley's supporters. I want to be clear. There is a place for them in my campaign. I know there's a lot we don't agree on. But on the fundamental issues of preserving American democracy, on standing up for the rule of law, on treating each other with decency and dignity and respect, on preserving NATO and standing up to America's adversaries, I hope and believe we can find common ground. We all know this is no ordinary election, and the stakes for America couldn't be higher. I know that Democrats and Republicans and independents disagree on many issues and hold strong convictions. That's a good thing. That's what America stands for. But I also know this, what unites Democrats and Republicans and independents is a love for America," unquote. And I wish him all the luck in the world. But, you know, you and I, Blue Gal, have very different opinions about Nikki Haley's supporters.
Yeah, we do.
Did you vote for Trump in 2020?
I did.
And what made you switch from Trump to Nikki Haley?
The man is a lunatic, and I think he's terrible for the country.
What are you thinking about when you say that?
Just that he lies, he cheats, he bankrupted millions of businesses and people, and I don't see anything good about him.
Let me ask, if Donald Trump is the nominee in November, do you support Joe Biden over Donald Trump?
Nope.
What do you do?
I don't know. It will be a hard decision.
And so that is a Nikki Haley voter saying, you know, Donald Trump is a menace and insane and a lunatic and bad for the country. And then when she's confronted with her choice, pick one. Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if I can pick Biden because, you know, I've been watching Fox for 35 years.
Right, right. That's the problem. Yeah. And that's the problem that you and I have been talking about as long as we've been writing, as long as we've been podcasting. That
yeah, but let's not leave our audience hanging. The difference we have is, and you tell me if I'm mischaracterizing what you've said.
Okay.
You believe, and you said this on Twitter, actually, that 90%, 98%, I think you said, mm-hmm. of Nikki Haley voters are going to go run right out and vote for Trump.
They won't run. They will, however, slowly, grudgingly, tooth grindingly. There's some exigent event will occur somewhere in the world. A comet will pass by. There'll be a sunspot. A flower will die in their garden. And they'll go, well, I can't
there you
vote
go.
For Joe Biden
I can't
under
vote
these
for
circumstances. My yeah. eggs cost $1.97. I can't vote for Biden like this. And they will lie to themselves and rationalize their way back to supporting Trump because they're Republicans. And this is mm-hmm. just how those people are. They're amoral. They have willingly participated in their own brainwashing for 30 fucking years. And they cannot admit to themselves how deep down the hole they've gone or the damage they've done to this country. And so they will find a way back to support Donald Trump somehow, some way, because Joe Biden is just worse. This is exactly what happened with Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. These people mm-hmm. fucking knew better. And there were liberals out there too, lefty, red hat socialists out there who were like, well, Hillary Clinton's, you know, just as bad or maybe worse than Donald Trump. Republicans only, the Republican Party only survives by inventing an enemy that is slightly larger than their worst guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if the person that they're talking about has no relationship to the person that they've invented, it doesn't matter to the voters because the voters don't ever meet the real person.
They don't think about it. Right.
No, they get the propaganda and Hillary Clinton is a murdering lesbian lunatic who hates the working class. And Joe Biden is a filthy communist monster who's a doddering idiot and a mastermind criminal and the worst president in history and.
Yeah.
That's all they hear. And again, I'll say this for the thousandth time. All these fuckers ever had to do was change the channel.
Yep.
And that's why I have no respect for Republicans at all. They can all burn in hell because they are the ones who did this to us. It isn't everybody. It isn't both sides. It's just fucking them. And so
So my opinion is a little bit different, which is I think there are enough women, Nikki Haley, Republican women, who, and I said this to you the other day, and you agreed with me, that every single woman in America has known a Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
In their personal lives. Someone who felt entitled to abuse them personally, whether it was went to full-blown rape or just a smack on the butt or whatever it was. And I don't want to trigger anybody, but we've all known everyone. Every single woman in the entire United States has known someone, a man who felt completely entitled to own them.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you escape that by with the ability to walk away or you don't, that experience and knowing that Donald Trump has been found culpable of that behavior by a jury is going to have an effect. And it may be that those women simply stay home.
That's possible.
It may be that those women write in or vote for RFK or a no labels candidate.
Could be.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. But, well, you know, some they find some out so that they don't have to vote Democrat because Democrat, you know, we can't possibly.
Right.
But I foresee right now, especially with the amount of ads that Biden's going to run everywhere, I believe, of, as I said, a white mother sitting on a couch saying, I had sepsis and I was about to die. And because of Donald Trump, my choices were limited to X, Y, and Z. And her husband holding her hand and saying, you know, of course, or I tried to get IVF. I've been going through this for 3 years trying to get pregnant. And thank God I had my little blonde ringlet baby before Donald Trump and the Republicans decided to insert the government into my family situation. And those women who see that, who love babies, are sentimental about babies, are going to find a way not to vote for Donald Trump.
I would like to stipulate something for the record. God, I hope there's not a record, but I would like to stipulate that I want to be wrong. I would be delighted to be wrong. I'd be thrilled to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I am, I have a more darker cast to my predictions is all those women you're talking about, and I agree with everything you just said. I have no dispute with any of it. Voted Republican when the voice of the party was Rush Limbaugh. And Rush Limbaugh talked about women and shit on women and treated women like dogs. They're the ones who piped in about how there are no feminazis here when they swept to office in 94, who were thrilled to call their fellow women feminazis. These are the people who were cool with Newt Gingrich being, you know, a thrice adulterer, lying douchebag. These are people who voted for Donald Trump in 2016 and then voted for him again in 2020.
Because
and they knew who he was. They knew fucking well who he
that
was.
That woman we just listened to. She voted for him twice. She's voted for him twice. Yeah.
And I just think that a substantial percentage of those people are hopelessly lost and we should just write them off. You know, I did a little commercial for Joe Biden on Twitter this week about, you know, I know his State of the Union address is, I know that no words of mine can persuade you to look at yourself and see what a fucking moron you are or something like that. There's nothing I can say that's going to make you turn around and look at all the terrible choices you've made. You're unreachable by reason and fuck you all. However, I'm still going to work every day when I win to make your life better, whether you like me or not. I just think that so many of these people have dug themselves in so deep they can't get out now without really psychologically destroying themselves.
Yeah,
they can't do it. So so either they will rationalize their way to voting for Donald Trump because Joe Biden is Satan, or they will, like you said, rationalize their way to stay home, rationalize their way to throw away their vote on somebody
third
else.
Party. Yeah,
you know, write in somebody else. I want to be wrong. I want there to be enough people, even if it's just a few thousand people in the Republican Party who just can't stand it anymore. The atmospheric pressure is too much for their brains to bear and they just do something else. I just think that they have been conditioned to the point where that's unlikely to happen. Not impossible, but unlikely. So anyway.
One of the themes of the show, I think, is Republicans. There's no longer a quiet part.
No,
there's no longer a quiet part to say out loud. They're just talking.
Yeah.
And idiot talker of the week who just says it out loud is Mark Levin. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to do a Mark Levin voice for what he said.
Bless
this week.
Your heart. It hurts the dog's ears.
But yeah. He was on the radio his radio program, which is always he and Hannity have radio programs where they can say what they can't say on TV. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about Joe Biden's State of the Union and says the word is they're going to have somebody in the gallery who had to leave the state to go to another state to get an abortion. I had to leave my state to go see a cardiologist in another state. I literally had to leave my state to go to another state. Yes, why aren't I in the gallery? Why isn't he calling on me? Says Mark Levin, going to his cardiologist.
Mm-hmm.
People have to leave a state a lot of time for all kinds of medical treatment and medical care. Oh, now there you made a big mistake, Mark, calling abortion medical care.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But you're not supposed to say that. All right. Getting back to Mark Levin. I don't view it as a huge burden. You're going to have an abortion. Is it that much of a burden to go to another state? Or should the entire state accommodate the individual?
Yes. Everyone in the state has to have abortions. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
I mean, come on. How hard is it really? How much is a banana? $5? $10? That's absolutely what he's doing. From an absolute position of privilege, just not knowing anything about anybody else's life. So here he goes on. We've got abortionists in this country. They're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. I'm going to prove it to you, ladies and gentlemen. Wait a minute. You had to leave the state for an abortion? Yeah, I did. People leave states for cancer doctors, for other kinds of specialists, for heart doctors. That's a great thing about America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I went and did a little research about Mark Levin and found out that he owns at least two houses. He owns a house in Jupiter Island, Florida, for the golf, I have to assume.
Uh-huh.
And he owns a over $2 million house on the Potomac River in Leesburg, Virginia. He looks across the river and there's Maryland.
Yeah.
And he's 40 minutes from Washington, D.C., so, yeah, he drives to another state to go to the cardiologist in Washington, D.C. And it is just idiocy. The number of states, he's not even mentioning the number of Republican states that are trying to ban women from crossing state lines.
Well, no, of course
not. To get health care.
And Mark Levin's not stupid.
No, he's not stupid.
He is in the business of, like in high school debate,
mm-hmm.
when you're losing an argument badly. You know, they've got a case that's solid gold and there's very little you can do about it. He's in the position of just, look, I have to make up some shit to tell these people because they're watching me and they
they're listening to my radio program, for
yeah,
God's
or
sake.
Listening to my, and, yeah. and that's the other thing. Now that they're just saying stuff out loud that they used to whisper, it's getting the mainstream media is working harder and harder not to notice it.
Not to notice, exactly.
They have to really work overtime to pretend these people don't exist or that what they're saying isn't just horrifying. But Mark Levin is in his job is, I need to invent some logical sounding argument to convince the morons who watch my show that that this is a reasonable position.
Yeah.
And if this one doesn't work, he'll invent another one and another one and another one and another one until the day his cardiologist can no longer keep his black little heart pumping and he dies. But until that day, he will continue to be this awful, vicious, vindictive little prick who has his own television show and his own radio show because there's a lot of money in that.
Yep.
And you know what? He used to be running buddies with a guy named Bill Kristol.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Bill Kristol? Mm-hmm. Remember Bill Kristol 5 minutes ago when he was bloody Bill Kristol? Well, Bill Kristol was at it again this week, pushing the idea that Joseph Robinette Biden should use the State of the Union to announce that he is dropping out of the race. Because Bill Kristol is fucking obsessed with Joe Biden dropping out of the race. Which is, you know, I mean, it's grotesque that Bill Kristol still exists on this earth.
I know.
It's grotesque that he has any influence over events at all, or the people who I know and respect say, well, you know, he's an ally now, so you got to treat him with kid gloves because, you know, we're all on the same team. But we're not all on the same team because he wants Joe Biden to drop out. And Bill Kristol is now the public-facing voice of that MSNBC subsidiary known as The Bulwark. And he continues every day to prove my thesis that the never-Trumpers are basically our American political version of dispossessed Russian aristocracy after the revolution. He is privileged. He and his people, I'll just speak all the neocons and all the elite Republicans and all the tastemakers and all the people who thought they ran the Republican Party, were basically czarist Russian royalty who thought they ran the place, who set up their own propaganda system to keep the peasants in line, worked real well, who fed people bullshit, who took advantage of them, who harvested their votes and so forth, until one day they were run out of their country. And they felt very aggrieved over the fact that their party had have driven them out. And then they land on our fair shores. And the first thing they do is try to tell us how to run our party. Because they know best. Because they're fucking royalty. Because they're aristocrats. And we're just a bunch of, I don't know, toe-picking, gas-sipping morons over here on the left who don't know how to do politics at all. My God, we weren't even Dan Quayle's, you know, strategic thinker like Bill Kristol was. So Bill Kristol and the rest of those people have a really, really haughty attitude about what they deserved and how aggrieved they were and how wrong it was for them to, you know, exploit the peasants all the years that they did. And they get tossed out on their ass and they just deserve to come over here and go, everybody, sit down, shut up. We're going to tell you how to run this party now, which they've been doing since day fucking one. And you know what? I agree with Charlie Pierce. Charlie Pierce said something like, it's all hands on deck, but not all hands on the wheel. You know, if you want to help out Bill Kristol, shut up, go to the back, grab an oar, and start telling people how they have to vote for the Democrats, period, full stop. Not, you know, I really think Joe Biden should drop out because I really think that's the best strategy here. Now, if you take, and I wrote about this years ago, I wrote a post called The Aristocrats and made a very compelling case. These guys really are dispossessed Russian aristocrats who are very mad that the revolution came and kicked them out. And that's why I really do think Steve Bannon was onto something when he described himself as a Leninist.
Oh, yeah.
Because not a Leninist in terms of strategic vision, like I want to collectivize the nation and turn the means of production over to the peasants and, you know, share everything, et cetera. No, no, no. That's not what he had. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the tactics he used to take over the Republican Party. And I think that if you look at it from, I hate to say this because I'll sound foolish in the details, but in the broad sweep of things, if you look at it from the Marxist perspective, it's perfect. Because what you had, if you consider the Republican Party like a country, you had a country run by effete, rich assholes who thought they knew best, who didn't listen to anybody but themselves, and who used the peasants the way they wanted to, and didn't really give a shit about them at all. They propagandized them, they lied to them, they fed them bullshit religion, and so on and so forth. And then one day, people like Steve Bannon rose up, and they turned the peasants against the Tsar. And they turned the peasants against the Tsar using the tools that the Tsar himself had created. They used the tools of, to put it in Marxist terms, industrial capitalism against the industrial capitalists. They took the infrastructure that the neocons built and they used it to destroy them, especially the propaganda system. Because these guys all depended on assholes like Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin and Bill O'Reilly and Fox News and all of those little websites and larger websites out there that kept feeding the masses bullshit and lies and keeping them frightened and angry and bigoted and dumb. And they, the people like Bill Kristol used those things to get their guys elected. They depended on those people to get their people in office so they could have their tax cuts, which is all they ever really cared about. And then people like Steve Bannon used that infrastructure against them, turned it against them, especially the propaganda system. And the most important part of this changeover was these people spent 40, 50 years radicalizing the proletariat, turning the Republican base into what we call reprogrammable meatbags. And all Donald Trump ever did was steal their code book and use it against them. And he told them, look, you've been told for years, anybody who doesn't tell you what you want to hear is a liberal, is a Democrat, is a squish, is a runner. Anybody who tells you anything other than what you have been told to believe on the QT. All the bigoted shit, all the nonsense, all the immigration stuff, all the Democrats are secretly commies. Anyone who tells you otherwise is a liberal, is a commie, isn't one of us. And the peons all looked around and said, yeah, we've been hearing this shit for years on AM radio and Fox News, but our leaders don't seem to be telling us this anymore. Our leaders want us to get along with people. They talk about fucking compromise. Well, Rush Limbaugh says compromise is death. Compromise is a backstab. And all Trump ever did was take the proletariat of the Republican Party and tell them what they wanted to hear and turn them against the ruling class and run the ruling class the hell out of there. And nobody hates rhinos more than these Bannon types.
Right.
They hate them the same way Marxists hated liberals, because liberals steal the revolutionary energy from the Marxists. They keep thinking they can make things better without a complete revolution. And that's why Steve Bannon and his people hate rhinos, because rhinos keep telling the base that, well, if we just stop being fascist scumbags, if we just stop being racist, it's the whole autopsy thing. Mm-hmm. We just did the autopsy and got more, you know, young people and women and stop being assholes and stop being racist just a little bit. Maybe we could win more. And they didn't want to hear that because they'd been taught for 30 years that that's all bullshit. They wanted to hear, we need to get more radical. We need to get more conservative. We need to get more racist. We need to get more angry. And we need to take to the streets with our guns if we have to. And that's what Trump told them. And that's why it worked, because the people on the top of the GOP built the infrastructure that people like Trump and Bannon used to take them over. And that really, kids, is your lesson in Marxist dialectic for today.
Well, and let's not forget that these imaginary, and many of times they are absolutely imaginary, of the rhinos and the squishes.
Yeah.
And he never, you know, or rarely, if ever, names names.
Like, oh, no, you don't have to.
He said this week, I don't want to point any fingers.
You don't have to.
But the rhinos are to blame for the failure of the Hunter Biden investigation.
That's right. You don't have to. You just, it's your invisible enemy that's always out there.
Exactly. Always out there.
Only
you know those rhinos, they're going to get you. Yeah.
And only the party, only Big Brother and the party can protect you from the invisible enemy that's never going to be defeated.
And they built
an entire party base.
It's beautiful that in terms of brainwashing and getting what you want. It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man. But I think you're absolutely right. Drift Glass, we got to talk about North Carolina. We got to talk about the North Carolina Republican Party, because you know it's lit.
It's lit. Man, and it's lit like a burning cross lit. You
it's
know?
Burning cross lit. And I got to say, there was a headline in one North Carolina news outlet complaining about the national attention that North Carolina Republicans are bringing to the state.
What?
You don't want in a good way. Not in the way you think.
Yeah. Well, they would gladly change places with American Samoa right about now.
Well, we got to talk about Mark Robinson, who won his primary for governor.
He sure did.
People voted for him in North Carolina. And he's got a rap sheet of things he said on Facebook and elsewhere.
A mile long.
He absolutely wants to go back to the America where women couldn't vote. Longing for the days when women couldn't vote ties into his history of demeaning women and mocking feminism.
Oh, this is from Yahoo News, by the way.
This is from Yahoo News. Thank you. He claimed that feminism was created by Satan. You mean Satan?
You mean that Satan? Yes, that's Satan.
He said that men who identify as feminisms are about as manly as a pair of lace panties and are weak-minded, jelly-backed men, quote-unquote men. He's routinely referred to feminists as fem-Nazis. Well, that's not creative.
Nope.
And in one particularly colorful post, described those who support equal rights for women as sexist, hairy armpit-having, poo-poo hat-wearing pinkos. The only thing worse than a woman who doesn't know her place is a man who doesn't know his. He wrote on Facebook in December of 2017. Channeling the late televangelist Pat Robertson, he claimed that Satan himself is using lesbianism and feminism to destroy traditional families. There's plenty more to revisit with Robinson's attacks on women, including calling them whores, witches, and rejected drag queens. Now, this is what I mean. North Carolina women are going to stay home rather than vote for a Jewish Democrat for governor. And they're not going to vote for this guy.
Oh, God.
He's a black preacher who says that women are whores and witches.
Don't forget Hitler, though. You almost forgot Hitler.
He likes to quote Hitler and fans Islamophobia, saying trans people should be arrested for using bathrooms. He cast doubts on the Holocaust, and he's spreading countless dangerous conspiracy theories. He has also criticized women who breastfeed in public. By that, he means babies who breastfeed in public. He calls them on Facebook in 2016, shameless attention hogs.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, he checks every box.
He checks every box.
Yeah, he's the perfect candidate.
This is from Huffington Post, quote, "For now, Robinson seems pretty comfortable being associated with Trump. The former president formally endorsed Robinson over the weekend at a North Carolina campaign event. Trump also declared that Robinson, who is black, is Martin Luther King on steroids." "I think you're better than Martin Luther King," Trump said to Cheers. "I think you are Martin Luther King times two," unquote.
Just play it. Just play that over and over
again.
Yeah.
And if you want to motivate black Democrats in South Carolina to turn out, or North Carolina, excuse me, this is North Carolina, which is winnable.
Yeah.
North Carolina is winnable for Democrats.
Now it is.
Oh, and it was before, but now it really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you want to motivate Democrats to turn out to vote?
Just play this guy.
Who might not be enthusiastic about Biden, but they're very enthusiastic about defeating Robinson and defeating Trump.
Well, Blue Gal, sadly, we have to linger for a while longer in the great state of North Carolina because of this story from the Associated Press. The headline reads, "North Carolina school chief loses primary to homeschooling parents critical of, quote, radical agendas, unquote." And you know what? We almost don't even have to read this because you know what the story is. But I'm going to read it anyway. Quote, "North Carolina's public school superintendent and some state legislators won't be returning to their positions in 2025 after primary defeats by challengers who questioned their rivals' commitment to social conservatism or a Democratic agenda. Superintendent of Public Instruction Catherine Truitt lost Tuesday's Republican primary to Michelle Morrow, a homeschooling parent and conservative activist who has accused public schools of indoctrinating students with left-leaning views on race and gender. Truitt had re-election support from dozens of General Assembly members and North Carolina Republican U.S. Senator Tom Tillis. So she has big support, and she's a Republican, and she's conservative. But Morrow, a nurse and former Christian missionary who ran unsuccessfully for the Wake County School Board in 2022, accused Truitt of not being, say it with me now,
conservative enough.
Conservative enough. Not conservative enough. Because, kids, remember, the only way you're ever allowed to be wrong on the right is you didn't go far enough. You weren't crazy enough. You weren't conservative enough. That's why you end up with Mark Robinson as the candidate for governor in that goddamn state.
Right. And Michelle Morrow. Now, again, speaking of national attention.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Okay.
This is a superintendent of public instruction race. And it's getting national attention from the AP. Because you've got a Moms for Liberty nut job.
Mm-hmm. Winning.
Homeschooler deciding that she's going to come in and clean up the public school system and make it in her idea of God's image.
Yep.
And parents in public schools, we have found in election after election, don't want that. They lose. Moms for Liberty candidates lose.
But Blue Gal, what about all the litter boxes they put in schools these days
right.
for the kids to identify
you mean
as
for the mass shooting, so that a child can who's going to pee her pants because she's about to be shot has a place to go.
No, all the ones who identify as animals,
cats
as fluffy
and furries. Yeah,
I mean all
yeah.
the shit that doesn't
all that
exist
bullshit.
And doesn't happen.
Yes,
yeah,
got it. Bullshit.
Yeah,
bullshit. And it's time for people to go to school board meetings and get really involved and say bullshit.
Yeah,
and you know. Homeschoolers thinking that they have a say in this is just absurd. You're certainly within your right to, you know, homeschool your kids if that's what you think is right. But for God's sake. So here's the deal. Sunlight.
Yeah.
Sunlight on this woman. And if she wins, more sunlight.
It won't cure COVID, but it might cure this. You know,
yeah.
It's the ultraviolet.
Well, if she wins, if you're in North Carolina and anywhere near this district, you need to go to every meeting and you need to look at the budget numbers and you need to look at the spending. Because we all know what happens. And I'm predicting, I'm not accusing, I'm predicting that if this nut job wins her office and becomes superintendent of public instruction, what happens is turns into a grift.
Yeah. A lot of SUVs got to get purchased.
And all of a sudden, right, the superintendent of public instruction needs an SUV purchased by the school district.
Mm-hmm.
Or that kind of crap.
A big camper to take. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I must admit my bias in this matter.
Mm-hmm.
I am the son of a school teacher and a school principal.
Oh, yeah.
When they divorced, he married a school principal and she married a teacher. My sister was a teacher. My former brother-in-law was a teacher. I come from a long line of teachers mm-hmm. and principals. And who all have very strong opinions about letting lunatics run their schools.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not in favor of it. And I think it's a terrible idea. And I think it if you want to begin to destroy this country forever, start with putting lunatics in charge of this elementary and high schools.
Right.
Because then you can harvest those idiots 10, 15 years later as voters for the Republican Party. I think it's time for a news roundup.
All right.
After you, darling.
Thank you. The U.S. Supreme Court has overturned the Colorado Supreme Court and will allow Trump to appear on the ballot. This was disappointing but not surprising. What was surprising was Amy Coney Barrett deciding to go full Michael Smirkanish. She decided to be a tone policer and tell the world that everyone was being too divisive. And the court was now in the business of telling everyone to calm down and stop being so angry.
Yeah, gave everybody a juice box and told us to sit down.
Of course, mm-hmm. this comes less than 2 years after Barrett joined with five of her right-wing fanatic colleagues in gutting 50 years of Roe v. Wade precedent and stripping half of this country of their bodily autonomy, mm-hmm. about which we are still angry, Amy.
But we shouldn't be angry, because you shouldn't be angry
bullshit.
About anything
again.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. Bullshit.
She's talking to liberals who have every right to be angry.
Yeah, liberals, you shouldn't get too angry about this to take Trump off the ballot.
Stop questioning
That's just
legitimacy.
Mean.
If you question the legitimacy
Fuck
of the court,
you.
Yeah, I will leave it there. New video released this week shows Wisconsin's fake GOP electors casting ballots for Donald Trump and applauding, clapping for themselves. Everybody stand up and give yourself a big round of applause. This video is part of documents released in a settlement in a civil lawsuit against Kenneth Cheesebro and Jim Trupas, who is Trump's attorney in Wisconsin. And you have something
and
to say about that?
They settled their suit. This was on Andrew Weissman podcast, Prosecuting Donald Trump with Mary McCord. She was one of the attorneys suing Kenneth Cheesebro. And so if you want to hear all about this, one of the terms of the settlement was that Kenneth Cheesebro and this lawyer, Jim Trupas, who has skated so far, had to release all of their texts and emails to the public.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit, I've read through them, there's a little bit of, you know, crossing out names of people who were not involved in the conspiracy and so forth. You have to do that.
Protect the innocent.
But one person who was involved and whose name was not crossed off was Reince Priebus. He's at all these meetings how are we going to do fake electors for Trump?
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between Wisconsin and Pennsylvania is Pennsylvania had an attorney who said, whoa, 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 you are not an alternate elector. You are there as a contingent. He protected them by knowing the election law. He said, this is a contingent set of electors if we win a case and the courts say, yes, Republican elector, there was enough voter fraud, whatever, mm-hmm. that actually Republican electors should be sent to elect Donald Trump from Pennsylvania.
Right.
Contingent. That one word saved their asses.
Uh-huh.
And they did not use that word in Wisconsin. They just went, oh, we're electors. Why aren't we allowed in?
Mm-hmm.
Kyrsten Sinema, the chaos queen of Arizona, will not be running for re-election. Brian Beutler summarizes her parting message as, quote, because the people of America suck and don't want anyone as special as me representing them, I'm going to peace out. Unquote.
Yeah.
She was such a goddamn liar. She really was. Yeah. She, a creature spawned from the no-labels slogans and New York Times op-ed whiners, she insisted that the real problem was that Americans had rejected compromise and that compromise was, quote, a dirty word in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she didn't have any problem covering her for her hedge fund.
No, that was her buddies. Priority.
That was her top priority, was to make sure that hedge funds kept their tax protections.
Stuff as much money into her pocket as possible.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And yet she's obviously not stupid. She knows that it's not Americans or both sides who are the problem. It's Republicans, you know, like Donald Trump, who ordered House Republicans to kill a bipartisan immigration deal that Kyrsten Sinema and two colleagues had worked on for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trump wanted the issue rather than the solution. So maybe it's a good sign. Maybe it's a sign that this huge, toxic, both sides do it watering hole is drying up.
Maybe, maybe.
It's getting too small to sustain all but the hardiest predators because the Republicans just keep saying it.
Yeah.
And it's not the quiet part anymore.
No. Well, and as we've said, thanks to the efforts of listeners to the Pro-Left podcast, honestly, I think we got to claim a little credit here. The both sides argument has been turned into a punching bag. A joke. It's and people who want to use it now, who would have just casually said it over and over again, now preface what they're saying is, now I'm not making false equivalence arguments.
Or I'm not both sides. Yes.
And then they do anyway.
And then they do.
But there is at least some peripheral awareness that everyone who has a brain left in this country knows what you're doing, knows you're lying, knows you're some sort of coward who's trying to play both sides for money.
Yeah. So, well, and Dan Rather had a very long Twitter stream this week about both-siderism and how if Donald Trump says the sky is green, it's not time to call that controversial.
Yeah.
It's time to say the sky is blue and why is Donald Trump lying?
Yeah. Now, there are still some large predators hovering around the both sides to a watering hole. And speaking of that, this is from the inimitable Digby, quote, God damn it, I'm seeing Joe Lieberman on CNN pushing no labels, and he's pretty much confirming that these assholes are going to sabotage the election. He should run on the GOP ticket. He seeks bloody revenge as much as Trump does, unquote, which is 100% true. Joe Lieberman is a vicious old prick who's just mad that he's never going to be president. And
I'm so glad when Digby says a swear.
A couple of swears. I like it when she loads a bunch of swears in there. But Joe Lieberman is one of those people that should have just been, you know, floated off on the iceberg years ago.
But
he has too many friends in too many high places who write too many kind of columns and can never be fired. So Joe Lieberman just keeps going from worse to worse to worse. There's always someone there to pick up the tab for Joe fucking Lieberman.
There was an article, and I'm sorry, I don't know where it was, but I was scrolling through, and someone had written an article in a major publication saying, here's the investments I'll be looking at if Donald Trump wins.
Yeah.
And he went on and on and on and on about tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
They want more Trump tax cuts so bad.
Well, yeah.
And again, the persistent belief that nothing bad will ever happen, you know, to me voting for the leopards eating my face party.
Well,
it's remarkable, but they're thirsty for those tax cuts.
I think they think, honestly, that this country's over. Mm-hmm. And now it's just grab whatever you can. Mm-hmm. Grab as much as you can and go off on an island somewhere or go to a penthouse somewhere. Yeah. And the chaos that will probably come or maybe not, or who cares? It's not my problem. You know, what was the slogan of the housing crisis? IBG, YBG. I'll be gone, you'll be gone.
I'll be gone, you'll be gone.
We're going to loot this place. You're going to help me. And then by the time the shit hits the fan, I'll be off on a boat somewhere.
Yep.
I don't care. And so these people do not give a shit about this country at all. But they think, look, however bad things get, if the revolution comes and there's blood in the streets up to people's chins, I will be safe.
Yeah.
I'll be safe. My family will be safe.
I'll fly to Greece. I'll fly to Turks and Caicos. And I'll be...
Or I'll have an island in the Pacific.
Yeah,
you know, or I'll have a fortress in the Arctic. I got all the money I will ever need to make myself and me and mine safe. And so fuck everybody else. They've given up on democracy.
The important thing is for me to have a tax cut now so I can save more for that to support that lifestyle.
Yep.
Yeah. And speaking of those kind of traumas, it seems very clear that millions of people have either forgotten or have repressed the memory of how horrible it was to live through the pandemic with Trump in charge. Yeah. As Chris Hayes noted this week, it is a very typical response to trauma. And Elise Stefanik, asking everybody if they were better off 4 years ago, you know, brought back all the memories of 2020.
And well, brought back among us, but I
among
mean,
us, yeah.
She's just pretending that.
But here's the deal.
Yeah.
We have to remember.
We have to remember.
Yeah. Trump talked about drinking bleach, shoving light bulbs into people, eating ivermectin, openly saying he would not help blue states with protective gear.
Mm-hmm.
Openly lying about everything all the time, day after day, as his tape-recorded conversation with Bob Woodward proves.
Yep.
He damn well knew how contagious and lethal COVID was, and I don't let Bob Woodward off the hook at all for not coming forward immediately with that tape and saying, hey, guys, we've got a problem here. The president is lying.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck my book. I know I'm going to have a book out, but I have to stop worrying about my book and try to save some lives here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Everybody knew. All the elite people, all the people way up in the food chain, they knew. They just didn't want to talk to us about it because, you know, it'll screw up their bank accounts and their book deals. This is from Republican Senator Rand Paul of the great state of Kentucky. Quote, "We have to talk about cutting Social Security and Medicare," unquote. See, I thought Joe Biden had settled all that a year ago at the
last state
of the union. I vividly recall, I'm having a false memory, Blue Gal. I seem to recall he got everyone up on their feet cheering, Republicans up
for
on
seniors,
their feet cheering,
yes,
and stomping their feet going, we're never going to cut Social Security or Medicare. So I thought that was all done. Now, someone on Twitter suggested that we should just queue up that audio for whenever you go door to door, door knocking for Biden. But I think everyone should save it on their phones and share whenever politics comes up and say, this is why I will never vote for a Republican.
Yeah. And then play Rand Paul saying that.
Yeah.
You can also find quotes of Nikki Haley saying that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Rick Scott in Florida saying that.
Just the worst people saying the worst.
String them together. Here are three Republicans telling you they're going to cut Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah, but, you know, Joe Biden is old.
But I can't vote for Joe Biden.
I can't. Yeah, for reasons I dare not talk about because it will reveal.
You hate to say you deserve what's coming.
Right.
You voted for it. And this is the thing. That is the way I would confront someone. You are depending on Democrats to save you from your own vote.
Oh, and then, you know what I would do? I would queue up Mitch McConnell, who is also on tape.
Yeah.
After the shit hit the fan on January 6th,
mm-hmm.
saying, don't worry, our Democratic friends will save us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we don't have to do shit. We can still go right on being the vicious, traitorous assholes that we've always been. We can continue to sabotage
We don't have to worry about the mob coming for us because we're going to hold Donald Trump accountable. The Democrats will do it.
Democrats will do it for us. The Democrats will always can be relied on to clean up because they, you know what? Democrats way down deep actually care about people. And we're essentially holding all the poor and sick and injured seniors hostage. We have a gun to their fucking heads. And so Democrats will do whatever we say because if they don't, we'll kill the hostage.
Yeah.
And Democrats are such suckers. They're so weak. They care about people that we can rely on them to clean up our messes no mm-hmm. matter how badly
over and over again, whether it's economic or justice or whatever. Yep.
Yeah.
From the New York Times, and this was on Rachel Maddow, and this is scary. This is scary. A network of right-wing activists and allies of Donald J. Trump are quietly challenging thousands of voter registrations in critical presidential battleground states, an all but unnoticed effort that could have an impact in a close or contentious election. Pointing out that there's virtually no evidence of voter fraud in any of the states targeted by this new group, which is run by a, quote, former Trump lawyer, Cleta Mitchell at True the Vote. I mean, she should be in prison. Mm-hmm. A vote monitoring group with a long history of spreading misinformation. Yeah, unquote. The Times article notes that their targets are quite specific. For example, in Michigan, they have, quote, turned up in large numbers of supposedly questionable voters in dense areas of Detroit and in student housing in Ann Arbor, both overwhelmingly Democratic cities. And the student housing in Ann Arbor, those are people that move every year.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, it's horrible.
The Supreme Court will hear arguments April 25th about whether Trump is immune from criminal prosecution for trying to overturn the results of the 2020 election. The case will be the last one argued in the court's current calendar, but could take months for the justices to issue an opinion. The outcome will determine whether and how quickly Trump faces trial for allegedly trying to overthrow the government in 2021. I think you and I, between the two of us, can strike the word allegedly from that because we saw it happen on live television.
Allegedly again, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mitch McConnell endorsed Trump for president despite once denouncing Trump as morally and practically responsible for provoking the January 6th insurrection in a, quote, disgraceful dereliction of duty, unquote. Nevertheless, McConnell said it was abundantly clear that Trump had earned the support of Republican voters and that it should come as no surprise that as nominee, he will have my support.
Just the worst people. They're just the worst people. The Biden administration will cap all credit card late fees at $8, which regulators say will save Americans up to $10 billion a year. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is awesome, has a rule that will close a loophole that has allowed some financial services to charge an average of $32 for a missed late or late payment. Biden also announced the formation of a new strike force meant to crack down on junk fees and other, quote, anti-competitive, unfair, deceptive, or fraudulent business practices, unquote, on things like groceries, prescription drugs, healthcare, housing, and financial services. This is what I want my government to do. Mm-hmm. And he's doing the stuff I want my government to do. So.
And we'll just have to see if Trump's Supreme Court begins to dismantle the administrative state.
Yes.
And, you know, they've been trying to make the CFPB mm-hmm. unconstitutional for years.
Yeah, since the day it was established.
Yeah.
By the way, thank you, Elizabeth Warren, for,
yes,
you know,
thank you, Elizabeth Warren.
The blueprint for that.
We're really worried about you getting reelected, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
With them having to go to Rhode Island to find somebody to run against you.
I hate to break it to you, Lizzie, but we're not going to send you $5.
We think you'll be okay. But, you know, we might send Biden $5. I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to figure that out. Right now, our $5 is going to Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio.
Sherrod Brown, who's in a tough race, and we wish him well.
He's in a tough race. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's a fun fact.
This is not a tough race at all coming
no.
up. No.
Here's a fun fact. Mm-hmm. Brandon Gill won his primary and is now the Republican candidate on the ballot to replace longtime Congressman Michael Burgess in the Texas 26th Congressional District, which is R+13.
Yeah.
Gill is a 29-year-old political newcomer and has little political experience, but is known for helping his father-in-law, Dinesh D'Souza, market the election conspiracy documentary 2000 Mules, according to the Texas Tribune, which, as I said, True the Vote had to go to court and under oath say, we don't have any proof of this.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because the 37% of Trump supporters have watched this and are sure that it's gospel.
Uh-huh.
It did its job.
And now there will be a D'Souza relative in the House.
Son-in-law will be in Congress.
Yeah.
All right.
At 29 with no experience.
30, yeah, he'll be 30 when he's elected, but yeah.
Pimping this crazy conspiracy movie that his daddy-in-law made.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, in local news, important local news, Lukanen's is back open. Maybe. We're pretty sure it's open. We plan to go to lunch there pretty soon, one of these days. But it's one of those weird local stories where there's this restaurant that was open, but it wasn't open. And then it was closed for a while. And then it was going to be sold. And it was listed. Then it was taken off. Then it was added back on, but for less money. And then they raised some money. But then it was like, what are you spending that money on? And then they made it public kind of confession that, you know, we made some mistakes. We're imperfect people. Everybody makes mistakes. Then they were going to be back up for lunch, but they weren't going to have a liquor license, but that was taken off. And then they were moving and the building was going to be sold, but then not. And it was like, I swear to God,
it really was a soap opera. The biggest soap opera in Springfield, Illinois
is a restaurant.
Was this restaurant doing a GoFundMe to try to stay in business and abruptly closing?
Very
right?
abruptly closing. And I joked to my wife that, you know, Schrodinger's cat is on the menu because it might be open. It might not be day to day. We're not sure. We don't know. But it appears now that it's actually going to be open And that's right across the street from the governor's house.
People are making reservations and trying to, you know, we'll show up and see if they're open today.
Yes. But, you know, we and it's a little pricey, but we do like to support local businesses, and we're not going on vacation to Tahiti this year.
No. We're going to try to wing it and support Lukanen's if they're open at some point in the next, when the tax return comes in.
But that's the big story
lunch,
here.
For lunch, not dinner.
Area restaurant may be open.
We can't afford dinner at Lukanen's, but a light lunch at Lukanen's to support a struggling local restaurant. We will we will wing it with our tax return money.
I think it's a husband and wife team. And
yeah, I mean,
he's a chef.
And good food. I'm not saying. We've been to lunch once there. Yeah. I think someone took us to lunch there. It was very, very good.
Yeah, but, you know.
But, yeah, it's a
big local
story. It's the big soap opera of the week. Just we want to keep you apprised of what's going on here in our hometown.
Also, apparently, the local girls basketball team has done very well.
Oh, yeah, going state. Yeah. So, fantastic.
So we live in the real world, guys. We really do live in the real world.
We live in the real world. We do. Yep. Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an Internet Kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's Internet Kitty is Agnes Nutter. And I'm adding on which, because, of course.
Yeah, gotta be.
Named, of course, after the Good Omens Neil Gaiman Terry Pratchett character. Agnes is a beautiful tortie who is also a Zapadan miracle. The boyfriend in the house swore up and down that a fourth cat in this house will never happen. And then he met Agnes.
Mm-hmm.
And when he saw Agnes in the shelter, his heart melted like magic, and he agreed, let's let the adoption go through.
Because
it's Agnes, and Agnes is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Agnes Nutter does not sit on the kitchen floor, but climbs up on the counters and demands her freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your cat will climb up on the counter and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured.
Freshly poured, freshly poured.
The good people at Freshly Poured Cat Food are excited to announce they've added a new member to their family of fine products, Listen Mommy Cat Treats.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a cat mommy who must give your cat treats on these four occasions? 1, you just sat down. 2, you have just gotten up. 3, you have, for some unknown reason, entered the kitchen. 4, none of the above.
Oh, there should be a fifth added to that list.
Yeah.
You're about to record a podcast.
You're about to record a podcast. Well, then you know it's long past time for you to give your cats the treats they deserve. 2 words in the English language that every cat knows. Listen, Mommy. Listen, Mommy Cat Treats. Another fine fake product from the makers of Freshly Poured Cat Food, our fake sponsor. And by the way, you should visit Agnes Nutter at our Facebook page or website. And you can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write to us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions letter on the air unless you say otherwise.
And don't forget our gourmet coffee guidelines. If you can afford to buy an espresso based beverage for yourself. Sorry, it's getting towards the end of the podcast and my language is failing me. Buy one for us. This is not a charity. This is our job. If you can spare $5 a month, please do so. If you can spare more, that's great. If you want to do that, you go to our Patreon at patreon.com/proleftpod. Please also share our show on social media. And if you love this podcast, please get someone else to listen in as well. We have a lot of mail from people saying they've heard us for the first time or second time or heard us on via the radio show we do sometimes or whatever.
So, and YouTube, by the way, YouTube let me know today that in the past month we've had 65 new subscribers.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So welcome, YouTube listeners.
Welcome, YouTube listeners. We get all your comments. If you want to send us email, please do it at the ProLeftPod email address. We do see the comments on all the other platforms that we use. They come in barraging from all different directions, but we don't really have the time to address them directly. We see them, we read them, we love them, but we don't have time to respond to all of them.
Yeah. So our email address is proleftpodcast@gmail.com. That goes to both of us.
Please share our show on social media. And if you love this podcast, please get someone else to listen. We really appreciate that. And thank you for doing that.
Hey, Drift Class, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties hope Joe Biden reminds the gentlelady from Colorado that this is a State of the Union address and not a performance of Beetlejuice.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2024-25. GGBG Productions.